Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
The day you really sin, one of the ways that we know, can you hear me, is that you become afraid. Since the day the universe began, no angel has been able to look into his face. And you didn't ask why. So the best way for God to bridge that gap was to give us Jesus. So that's why if you pray from today to next year, if God appears to you, Jesus you will see. The Bible says his eyes are too holy to behold what? Iniquity. That's how separated he is. God doesn't stay in heaven. That's how holy he is. The heavens are not even holy enough for him. So he converted the whole heaven, that place we want to go and spend eternity, he converted it to a throne. So that is the seat. His whole body is above the heavens. So it's always good to pray, Lord, help me see you as you are. It will change a lot of perceptions, perspectives, the way you see him. Let me see you as you are. That was something David found in a generation, in a time when nobody knew how to assess God, including the sons of Eli. These are the prayers you can pray for the next 3 months. Holy prayer. Lord, help me see you as you are. Some of you don't know how creative you are, because in seeing God, you will find yourself. Moses was already called by God, but he didn't become an author until God took him to the mountain and used one hand to cover him. And then he saw the backside. 5 books came out. You don't know. You are creative. It's just that you don't know. God knows. Satan knows. But you don't know. What you need is an encounter. So when you find God that is so powerful, but yet so calm. Like God can literally come sit you to have a conversation. And it's not displaying power. No special effect. No after effect. No Premiere Pro. No. It's just this guy by the beach. Just talking to you about your life. I said God went to the river to pick Peter. Peter had backslided and led many souls away. And God saw Peter and didn't even talk about his sin. Resurrected Christ. Saw Peter. Peter said, I go a fishing, because he didn't understand what he was doing again. The man we thought would restore us is dead. I go a fishing. I used to be a programmer. If the ministry is not working, I can go back to what I was doing. I used to be a banker. They are still calling me. They are still calling me, sending me love letters. That since I refused to jackpot, I should come back and work. I'm not mad. My decision to follow Jesus is not a stupid one. If ministry is not working, I can go back and open my shop. I go fishing. And Jesus waited. Jesus didn't stop him. All Jesus did was he allowed him suffer overnight. Because your suffering could be a pointer that you have missed it. And Jesus came in the morning, stood by the bank of the river, and Jesus called a man older than him, say, children, Sometimes it be like say, God, Jesus no get respect. Like Peter was already a married man. Someone said, I can't follow that pastor, it's not mine. Peter was a married man when Jesus Christ said, follow me. Say, look, this man, this guy, no even get why, no get. Do you have children in school? Say, no, I'm not married. Say, but you follow me, I will make you. No respect again. Jesus got to the river and said to Peter and his friends, children, have you caught any fish? See, there's a way God can test you, and your pride will disqualify you. Peter did not even know it was Jesus. He was already spiritually blind. The decision to walk out of the will of God hindered him from being able to perceive God. Those are the things you will look at in your life. You will know that something has, in cut his share, something is wrong with you spiritually. Your ability to perceive and to discern. The moment you notice it is waning, please, from that moment, don't wait till the next day. Start the fast. I know people will tell you are all right in Christ Jesus. I know. But start the fast. Start praying. Open my eyes. Let me see. Open my ears. Let me hear. Open my heart. Let me understand. Are you here? See, forget the Bible knowledge you have. If you are spiritually blind, you are lost. If you are not able to perceive things as they are happening. Elisha said, the Lord permitted this thing to happen and I could not discern it. It's a serious matter. Do you know the good news is that being able to walk in the power of sight has nothing to do with being a pastor. It has everything to do with being a spiritual person in Christ. All many of us just need is just to add 5% seriousness to our lives. You will see the difference. The battle is getting stiffer. People are sleeping off. People are questioning whether God is real. People are trying to use head knowledge to determine by adventure if God is real. People are going back to evolutionary theory. But even the theory of evolution, science does not support it. Are you aware? How?
Okay, if I remember from this Got Not Dead movie, there was this scene that speaks to the fact that we were maybe once ape or something, then we evolved, and like if we were supposed to go through that journey, so why are we still not on that continuous journey?
Exactly. So what you are saying in essence is that for something to be a scientific fact, you should be able to replicate it. If indeed evolution is a theory, who was that guy? Darwin. Wherever he is, may God bless him. I don't know where he is, so if he's in hellfire, good luck to you. But somebody sat down, concocted something, and generations ran with it. He just thought about it. The guy should have been a philosopher, not a scientist. Anything that you cannot replicate should not be accepted as science. But science made an excuse for Darwin. Because people are afraid of what they don't understand. I was listening to Andrew Womack. Do you know Andrew Womack? He's a white preacher. He was being interviewed by somebody. And the man asked him, can you explain all this noise about the gift of the word of knowledge? Is this mind reading? Is it, what is it? This is an unbeliever on camera asking you to justify what you refer to as the gift of the word of knowledge. Do you know what the gift of the word of knowledge is? It's the ability given to a prophetic person to know things that are not supposed to be known naturally. To know where you went to yesterday. To determine, to tell you what happened in the past or what is happening now. So he was praying as he was being interviewed. Lord, how do I answer this question? The Lord said, don't answer the question. Say, ask him. Since when has that pain in your right shoulder been there? He said, ask him. So he asked the man, he said, okay, since when has the pain in your right shoulder been there? He said, how did you know about that? He said, it doesn't matter. He said, but thus hear the Lord to you. You are healed. So that's the word of knowledge. Yes. God is in the creative business. He does everything with style. You want to know? Let's demonstrate. You will be the specimen. God can use you. I'm telling you. Today I have a very short message. Very short. It's the shortest I've ever preached. Psalm 89. It's a continuation of the message I started first service. Now, you remember I said to you that God said there was a throne in the house of David. Alright? From Psalm 122. So you can get the audio message. Then there was, when the man of God was preaching, I remember the message I preached. Where is the sacrifice? A few weeks ago. Where is the sacrifice? So get that message on YouTube or on the church website, audio. You can listen to it. Talk is cheap. Bring your Isaac. Psalm 89. Do we have it? I want to start from verse 19. Then thou speakest in a vision to thy Holy One and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David. I have found Tumininu. I have found Folakemi. My servant. And with my holy oil have I anointed him. Ooh. I'm trying to tie this scripture to Psalm 122 so that you will see when he found that throne. You see, when the Holy Spirit teaches you scriptures, it's beautiful. You'll be seeing where all the connecting points are. David was a very rare man in his time. There was nobody like him in his generation that had a personal relationship with God, that was not waiting for the pastor or the priest. Church history tells us that David was probably a bastard son, which was why he wrote the psalm, "In sin did my mom." Huh? Psalm 51. And that's why when Prophet Samuel asked for Jesse to bring his son, he didn't call him. He wasn't among the legitimate sons. So possibly he was from another mother. It was when Samuel insisted that they could say there's another one. Listen, I don't care how your parents met themselves and did what they did, but there's a David that is rising on your inside. Amen. You are going to be a child of promise. Amen. All the pain of your past will vanish. Said, I found David my servant, and with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, and my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exert upon him. God made David become immune to spiritual attacks without prayer. That's profound. For God to make you immune to spiritual attacks. That's why he said they will come in one way, but they will scatter and say, because you are immune. 23. I will beat down his enemies before his face. Hello? God is a beater. He doesn't fight. He's a beater. There's a difference between fighting and beating. See, he will beat down. Down. You won't be able to get up. Down. You want to get again. Down. Down. And all you are doing is just watching. If you understand how jealous God is, you think God brought you this far to be allowing this nonsense in your life? I told you in the first service that every time God shows interest in a man, he's interested in generations. It's not about you. Have you ever asked yourself why revivals waned and died in church history? Are you telling me that Azusa revival started with the intention for it to die? Are you telling me that God started what he did through Ayo Babalola only for it to vanish? But when God cannot find a man, God will not bring down his standard. He will wait. Come on, are you with me now? I said, when God looks and cannot find a man, he will hold on. If it takes 200 years, he will wait. So the moves of God, the movements of God are not in calendars. They are in men. When God finds a man, in the day of his power, the people shall be willing. God will stand up again and say, it's time to move. Israel, they remained in bondage until God found Moses. God, every time God wants to do something, he raises men. Sometimes you are praying and you are looking up and God says, no, watch and pray. Watch there signifies that as you are standing before his Lord, pay attention to the things he's bringing to your heart. The impressions. That's why you cannot come to the place of prayer with your mind clustered. So if your mind is clustered, you need to spend the first 30 minutes clearing it. It's called declutter. Huh? Declutter NG. You declutter the whole, you know, clear the space. So that when God says, arise, you will hear that it, arise, you will hear it clearly. Because everything God says is pregnant. If God says, arise, that may be the next 20 years of your life. You'll be running with it. He said to me, arise. He said to me, arise. He said, and you will be running with it 20 years, 30 years, 30 years, 40 years in ministry. You'll be running and serving God. Lost in him. He said to one man, follow me. And Peter followed and followed and followed and followed. Until church history told us he was turned upside down and crucified. And he still followed. David is the example of what a Christian should be. A life completely yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask a question today. And I want you to think very deeply about it. What part of your life is shielded from God? What part of your life is that God cannot touch or ask questions about? Do you know that singular question can be the reason many people have unanswered prayers? Are you with me now? When David sinned, he tried to cover it up. And God told him, you are my boy, but I will not cover you. You have sinned. Go and read the book of Psalm and see the way that man repented. It's not the way we do electronic repentance now. I've prayed and I believe God has forgiven me. Eh? Really? The proof that you have been forgiven is that the guilt will be lifted. Not that you prayed. Are you with me now? So this generation has lost who God is. And we inherited the things we are practicing. Which means if you want to find who God is, you have to go to the older generations. Baba Deboye at 80 years, still doing crusade. Baba Kumi at 82 or so, still doing crusade. Bishop Oyedepo still screaming. He just finished Minister's Conference last week. But our generation, we've been taught in a way that has hindered us from arising. When God says, arise and shine, for your light has come. So I want to show you, hopefully I hope I can get there, that when the Lord said in Psalm 122, that there are thrones of judgment that have been set, even the thrones in the house of David, that I can take you there. So that if you follow the David model, the Lord can also find you. Because everything the scripture says we have read, they are for our learning. Which means if we follow this model, we can arrive at the same place David arrived. That even in the New Testament, Jesus was named after David. Let's go ahead. He said, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall what? Do you see the word on there? Hello? Can you see the word horn? What does that signify? Dominion. By reason of the shedding of blood. Not a flask, but a horn. And I've said this severally, King Saul was anointed with a flask, cosmetic. David was anointed by Samuel with a horn. For you to get the horn, blood must be shed. There must have been a crucified, taking a decision to embrace the cross, a crucified life. A life when you wake up every morning, you know that this life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. That is a position. It's a permanent posture. If while on that journey you sin and fall, you will fall in Christ. And Christ will begin a process of redemption and restoration. Not that you are in the outer court and then you fall. You fall out of Christ and you cannot come back. Organizations do what we call company audit every year. Most believers don't have anything they call audit. And what are the things to review? Review your relationship with God. Review your ability to discern the presence of God and the voice of God. Review your relationship with other believers. Review your relationship with your local church and other Christian communities you belong to. Review the level of potential rebellion. Review your tolerance for sin. Come on, are you with me now? It's a shame now that when people are in a relationship, we really do not encourage them to cut for so long for the sake of their eternal redemption. It's not safe anymore. Because there's something called chemistry. I think there's a song like that, chemistry. He said, and in his favor, the horn shall be exalted. Verse 19. Thou speakest in a vision to your Holy One. Hello? Who is the Holy One? David. God spoke in a vision to his Holy One. I'm reading from verse 19. And said, I have laid up upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from out of the people. I have found David, my servant. I'm talking about David here. I have found David, my servant, and with my holy oil have I, what? Anointed him. Now, I want you to see something. This is a very dangerous thing. I told you, I said the Lord established a throne in the house of David. And it was not a physical throne. Look at verse 25. I will set his hand also in the sea. And his right hand in the rivers. That's talking about territorial power. I will make him what? Next verse. I will make him what? Do you see firstborn there? Hello? I'm talking about the person that slept with another man's wife. Are you here, please? I am telling you that you are qualified to come into covenant with God. The sacrifice of Jesus has laid a foundation for you to rise out of your pain, to rise out of the pressure you always experience in your family, to rise out of this inferiority complex, to rise out of these internal struggles you've always been having and come into covenant. Because David was just like you. He was a lonely man. Look at that scripture again. He said in verse is that now? 27, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Hey, this throne is not a physical throne. God set a benchmark of greatness for every other king because of the posture that David took when it had to do with God. David was a man who would sit in his house and ask himself, why am I dressing well? Why am I living fine when the house of God is within a tent? He didn't hear God. It was the desire of his heart. Why do I have this kind of rug in my house when the church is using carpet? Why? Why? These things I have, how did I get them? God gave them to me. David taught God first in everything. Before he thought of himself. And yet most people thought because he was a king, he was privileged. David has always been like that. When he had nothing to his name, he still had a guitar. Where he would just sit there and praise God because that was all he had. Listen to me. The principle to taking this journey, where you get into that place, where you become an edifice in the spirit, starts with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Putting God first. And I'm not just talking about a decision. I'm talking about 15 years down the line, 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line, 40 years down the line. When they ask you your story, you start with, praise the Lord. Because you have built your life only on one foundation that cannot shake. He said, I will make him my firstborn higher than what? All the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him evermore. My covenant shall stand fast with him. Can you see how the throne was being constructed? Because the subject of mercy is a throne subject. The scripture says we must come before the throne of grace that we may what? That we may what? Find? That we may find? And obtain? So what do we find? How do we find grace? Grace and truth be multiplied through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when I am in need of grace, I look into the scriptures for revelation. As Christ is being revealed to me, grace is supplied. For the grace that bringeth salvation to all men has appeared to us. What is the grace doing? Teaching us. There is a grace that teaches. People are praying, God, I need your grace. I need your grace. When you are done, pick your Bible and read. Study. Because grace is a teacher. Oh. I say grace is a teacher. Grace will not just tell you you are blessed. It will show you the way you are going to be blessed and give you instructions for the next 7 weeks. Meet me 12 midnight for 2 a.m. When you come, this is what you are going to do. First 1 hour, take your note. Study the word of God. Jot what you are learning. The next 30 minutes, go into intense praise. Remove your shirt. Remove your trouser. Nothing should hold you back. And praise like a madman. Let your neighbors be banging your door. Is everything all right here? Mr. Shafe, hello? Hello? It's not picking again. Say the remaining 30 minutes, you are going to pray in tongues. It is not about the hours. It's about the instruction that you are giving. You want grace to teach you. You want grace to make up for your deficiency. Then grace must teach you what to do. And the instruction he will give to you may differ from my brother. But you see, the subject of mercy is different. The scripture says when we come to his presence, what do we find? What do we find? Grace. To find grace, I must sit in his presence and begin Bible study. But what do we obtain? Which means I cannot labor for mercy. Hello? I say I cannot labor for what? When I have done everything I know to do, and I stand before him, I will still tell him, I don't know what to do. He was the one who said to me, meet me for 7 weeks. I have done all those things. But when I come, I will still say, it's all about you. I must not behave as if I am entitled. Are you here? The prayer of mercy is a prayer of dependence. Whatever it is, 49 days of fasting, when we get to the junction of mercy, you know that mercy is a prerogative of God. He is the one who he has kept the matter of mercy for himself. He looks at this one and says, this one will not die. He looks at this one and says, I give you 69 years. That's it. That's his wisdom. One man was told, Isaiah had never prophesied and it failed. But it failed in Ezekiel's matter. Because Ezekiel knew that Isaiah has a boss. Pastor Gwinga may be a prophet, but he's not God. Let's go to his oga. He's a difficult man. Don't mind Pastor Gwinga. Let's go to his boss. The dead cannot praise you. Ezekiel said, only the living can praise you. You know me, I normally praise you. If I die, nobody will praise you. All these people, they are not serious. I'm the only one praising you. Isaiah, go back. 15. I need people to praise me. When he prostrated, he gave himself to the mercy of God. Some of the people you look at and you admire on TV, you admire on YouTube, they are products of mercy. There is no message any pastor is preaching that has not been preached. But when God decides to add his own microphone to your own, you may be on top of a computer. God decides to sit down and write the program with you. It's the same person, the same head, the same stomach, the same leg. But all of a sudden, people begin to say, this man is onto something. We have been shouting this thing for 10 years. You people did not listen to us. Now you say I'm onto something. I've been onto this thing for 10 years. But all of a sudden, God is now saying, this is my son. Hear him. The factor of mercy was one of the things that made David distinct. Because mercy is a product you only find in the throne room. And David found mercy. He got a throne. And that throne has nothing to do with a chair. It has to do with eternal influence and dominion. Everybody knows that David committed terrible sins. Do you still love to name your children David? Only few people can name their children Solomon. We are not plenty. Ahab is a Christian, sorry, it's a Jewish name. Can you name your child Ahab? What about Cain? Okay, Jezebel. But if you check, the names might not necessarily have a bad meaning. But because of the kind of evil spirit that followed those people, you don't want anything to associate with Cain. Your son is Abel, his classmate is Cain. Abel, we are changing. We want to change our school. Which kind of mistake is this one? You say, mommy, my classmate, his name is Cain. You say, what? Cain! Say, what's his parent? Say, K, A. Look, I don't care if it's a K or a C. We are moving to Redeemer's College. Kilo de Cain, and you are Abel. We need to move quickly. Do you know this Psalm 89 is talking about David, right? Now, I want to show you something. Verse 29. I want us to read it together. Are you there? Let's read together. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as what? Hello, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? David, a sinner that found mercy. Listen, you need to hear me. Anything you find in the scripture, it means God can do it again. Come on, are you here now? I'm not talking about those of you who have backup plan. Your father is a member of the House of Assembly and he has been there since 1999. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those of us who have nowhere to turn. Have you not met men of God, women? I'm talking about young ladies. I mean, I was counseling. I don't even know if I should say this. Like, have you ever spoken to somebody whose parents are dead? They have tens and tens and like millions upon millions. And God said to the daughter, you must not touch that money. It's not yours. It's blood money. And you find the child walking on the street of Lagos, suffering. Because God said, that money your father has, in your dad and your mom, is blood money. Don't touch it. That's why they died. And you can't say it publicly. It's not the one that your parents that say, ah, well, thank God. With this money, we'll go to school. We can even marry. We'll take over the real estate. God told the girl. Because some people think this is about pastors. No, there are young ladies who are working with God better than pastors. This is a young lady. She works as a secretary. But the parents died, both of them, because they sinned against God. They touched church money. And they died. It's church money. I'm not, if I mention the man of God, half of you will know the man in this Lagos. So I had to tell them to tell the girl to come and see me. Because the girl is really disillusioned. If you like, I told all the pastors, if you like, take God's money. I've told you, church money is not your money. Your own money is the one in your account. That is less tight. You understand? The man touched God's money and he died. The wife refused to own up. She also died in this Lagos, a popular man of God in Nigeria. Now God came to the daughter. Will you behave like your parents? That money in that account is not your own. It's for me. People will tell you, God does not spend money. Okay. It's okay. Oh. Satan has money. God has money. Achan, what did he take? Hello, Achan. Do you know Achan? What did he take? Talk to me. Now people, are you doing? Are you afraid? I said, what did, man of God? Abi, wait, Achan. Do you know Achan? Maybe we should start by, okay, we'll do teaching on Wednesday on Achan. Some of you don't know Achan. You are a new Christian. What did Achan take? Things that were cursed that God said nobody must touch. What happened to Israel? They lost. They lost lives that should not be. Oh. God said, do not touch the unclean thing and I will receive you. That means there are things you touch, God will stay away from you. Technology has nothing to do with this thing. Artificial intelligence, 22nd century, it has nothing to do with it. If you touch the unclean thing, God said, I will turn away from you. It was a condition in the New Testament. Please, is somebody here now? Hey, church is quiet too. I'm afraid. If you see the way the Lord stood on David's neck, it's not because God is wicked. It's because there are covenants already in place that have been signed all the way to the United Nations on one man. You can't do this. You can't do this. No. This man that you killed would have died for you. Ah, no. Look at what God said about him. He said, what's that verse now? Verse 29. He said his throne will be as the days of heaven. Jesus today is referred to this as the son of David. His throne is as the days of heaven. Listen, coming into this kind of relationship with God, giving your life to Christ is only the beginning. And I'm telling you, because I don't want us to just think, all the examples we are giving there are for men of God. No. David was a king. David will be your typical president today in any country. David was humble enough to admit that he was a sinner. When he was confronted, he didn't try to explain it away. Do you know David could have requested that Nathan's head be cut off? And he won't blink. He will be adding sin to sin. Don't hide your sin. This generation has become so crafty at hiding sin. We have online sex. We have sexting. Video sex. And we say it's not sex. That is just online. This generation has become so crafty. The Spirit of God says, turn away from the unclean thing and I will receive you. I don't know. Maybe that's why this church has no food. Because all this message we are preaching used to spoil people's mind. You are going places. Let me bless you people and be happy. I want you to see the life of David. I really don't know how God settled for me. It's just terrible. See, do you know the amazing thing is that David was not best man. If you really needed to choose a man of character. You see, Paul's error, I mean King Saul, his error was evident from the first day. Because when he found the kingdom, he wasn't looking for one. He was looking for lost asses. David was in the wilderness searching for God when the throne came. So it was easier to tell that Saul will have a problem. But it was more difficult to tell David will have a problem because he was always in the church. David is the kind of guy that, I beg, no sink. David is the kind of guy that will come to church, service starts 8 a.m. You would have been here 7 a.m. worshiping God. That's David. It's not, you see all that, such a service is too, that's you. David has no other place. He can't even go home. He's rejected. David said, Pastor, you just be ministering. Just, Pastor, we are with you. I say, if church, this church is not for two where two or three are gathered. We have to consider other people. David doesn't have problem. David will check. He doesn't wait for praise worship. He has learned the art of worship because that's the only way he keeps the balance in his mind. David knew mercy. You want a throne? You must condemn yourself to the mercy of God. David was a very fantastic worshiper. David never worshipped for the applause of men. And you must never worship for the applause of men. Why do we have young people who have all the revelation and rhema and all these strange things that we carry up and down and big fantastic language even though you didn't learn it in school? But yet, no life. Why is it still this our same old fathers that we are correcting their revelation that know God? The throne of David, God is still looking for men to commit that influence to. And it starts with putting God first. If you read through the book of Psalms, one of the things you will find is that David always made a particular statement. You are good and your mercy is forever. David knew mercy. David knew mercy. That he didn't even die at the hands of Saul. You have an entire army against you. Oh. It was not your smartness. No, but God had a plan for you. He could have been sick and he could have died. In the year 2000, I think the early 2009, I was sick. I couldn't go to the office. I lived at Ajah then. And that was my first out-of-body experience. My body, my spirit came out of my body and went. And I saw myself on a river and I was being taken away. And I saw the other, like another reality. So I knew that I was no more on earth. It was not a vision. My spirit left my body. I was severely sick and I knew I had died. Or at least I had that feeling. Your breath can fail any day if God changes his mind. It's not the doctor keeping you alive. I listened to Donnie McLaughlin. He was singing a song. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in this word. Hallelujah. Listen. They are taking one of the C.C. Winers, the elder ones, to the hospital, and they had to operate him. And while they were operating him, his heart burst. Burst. They were trying to fix the heart back into the body. And they collapsed completely in the hands of the doctor. One of the doctors who was a believer in their church, who was with them there, came out and was crying. He's gone. He's gone. His heart just burst. His heart just burst. His heart just burst. One of the elder whiners that used to sing, he said, he ain't dead. He ain't dead. Put it back. The doctors were confused. They were giving the family time to come to the fact, realization that this man is gone. The man in question is in his 70s. He's actually qualified to die. While they had this heart on the table, operation table that collapsed, burst, shredded. They started praying in the spirit. Because some of you are still arguing whether you should pray in tongues or not, no problem. There are days you will get to, English will fail you. Don't let that time come. Start praying now. A doctor, while they were praying, that doctor went back, took the shattered heart, tried to hold it together, put it in the body, blood wasn't flowing. Then he felt an impression, press the heart. Pow, pow, pow. The thing just picked up again. After 10 minutes, the guy was already dead. And they got to the church the next day. Everybody showed up for service. Oh. Say, Brother Donnie, could you come? Could you come just take a song? And Donnie McCorkie looked at the crowd and said, look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It is recorded in his word. Hallelujah. Listen. Our generation does not know the power of God's word. We talk about it, but we've not seen it. That's why people can go online and be writing rubbish. If God stands here, you can't look at him. If God stands here, Satan will first worship before he says a word. That is the God who calls you his own. You are my daughter. He didn't say you are the daughter of Michael. Or one of the 24 elders. He says, my genes are in you. When you come to the gates of heaven, you will be welcomed as a child here, a son of the great monarch, the king of the universe. You will not be welcomed as a servant. You will be welcomed home like a princess. That's your father. But without revelation, you will live anyhow. And then you will get there and you will be ashamed. like the prodigal son, you'll be asking, should I just stay and be helping you clean? Let them not know that I'm around. I said, no, you're a son. The guy could not identify as a son again because he had lived recklessly. The throne of David is going to be set in our midst again. And you will find people who will operate in different industries, different companies, organizations, not just ministry. And they will operate that dominion that can be transferred to their children. God is a generational God. If there's something you walked in, God wants your children to walk in it. Come on, are you with me now? God wants your children to walk in it. They asked David, who told you to number the people? And he was rebuked. And they said, God said we should ask you to choose the punishment that you want. You see, I don't understand people say, God spoke to me. Have you seen how God talks to people in the Bible? God told the man to choose his punishment. That's why most time people say, God said. They can't live by what they have said. Because it wasn't even God. When I was asked to leave the hospital because I was diagnosed with yellow fever or jaundice or something. Dr. Wudiri, that was the name of that man. It's late now. You know him. He was in Bauchi. Yeah, you are told about him. He came to my house and said, this young boy, the Lord told me he will be a vessel in the future. He cannot be held bound. But I was just a secondary school boy. I'd been rejected by the general hospital. They said, go home. They couldn't treat me. And the man looked at me and prayed for me. He said, because God's hand is upon you, I've seen it. He said, I've seen it. He said, run around this parlor and don't stop until you are healed. Because I was already a Christian. And Brother Lawrence and Bidemi, they have taught me about faith. That there are prophetic steps that sometimes you take to trigger your healing or your miracle physically. I just believe that what Dr. Wudiri said was the voice of God to me. And I started running. My parents, they were just watching the drama happen. And I ran, and I ran, and I ran. All I had in my head was that the servant of God said, run. And I ran, and I ran, and as I was running, I started sweating. Running around the parlor and the dining. I was running so fast, I started sweating. I was running so fast, I started sweating. Then he said, stop! Are you still weak? That was the end. Those are markers God will put in your destiny. He will put in your path. So that when you look back and Satan tries to tell you, you are not the one that was called, you will remember those points where God came through and confirmed his word. And then you will know that it's not as though God has forgotten you. You are just in a season of silence. That's it. That's just a season of silence. And in the seasons of silence, the only thing we do is we meditate. And consider. We don't talk. Because you don't even understand what is going on. The day the Lord will decide to open the doors of influence to you, you will not do anything. The door will open. People will start calling you. I wish there are some things I could share, but I'm on camera and I don't want to say them. Because they would have been clear examples of how doors can open of their own accord. But believe me, the one with the keys is Jesus Christ. And he can open the doors. But your faithfulness to him must not be in doubt. Jesus must never look at you and feel like he's not sure about you. Because even Satan wants commitment. Because everybody's running an agenda. Jesus must not look at you. The problem is not to help you. The problem is, can we find a man we can send? Because when the moment heaven says go, then we have to support you. Then we have to support you. You know, that song I was singing, you know, Look and Live, I was in my hotel. Yeah, it was in Kenya. And the song just flitted, Look and Live, Look and Live, Look and Live, Look and Live, Look and Live. It was the story of the serpent. When the Israelites sinned against God, and God said, raise a bronze serpent. If any of them can look at this thing, they will live. So I went on YouTube and I typed the song, and the song came out. Oh, it was such a refreshing time. Just listening to that song in a cappella, you know, just alone in my hotel room. That song was a ministration. It was the word of God. Forget all the noise you are making now. I'm talking about you are listening to a song rendition, and the word of God is coming to you. So I wrote down the words of the songs, and I just allowed the song to dance in my mind. If you want to be like David, I'm not talking about his mistakes. So if you want to be like David, you must make a decision for worship. I'm not saying that you heard a song and you sang. I'm saying you make a decision that henceforth you will be a worshiper. A crazy one. Not an academic one. Listen, the subject of mercy is very significant to being allocated a throne. Because we have found that many of those who found mercy, when they got to the top, they became very dangerous people. They will not allow others benefit from the same element of mercy. They became like beasts. One man in this country stood on national TV and cried that he was not allowed to win the election so he could change the nation. He cried. He cried. 8 years after, nobody is even asking. They say you are going back. Nobody is even. There is no, oh, we are going to miss you. There is no. Everybody just, I beg. The heart of man is deceitful. You don't know your own heart. There's a bill at the House of Assembly to restrict the activity of Christians. And we are all here shouting Holy Ghost fire. Instead of half of you to go and join a political party. If I join a partner, what's a pastor doing? Some of us, we are not really sure if we are going to be allowed to live outside this country. Moreover, I really don't know what's so fantastic about it anyway. Personally, I really don't know, because it's the Lord that giveth his beloved sleep. If you live in Japan and the Lord has not given you sleep, the Mami Waters priest there will come for you, and your condition will be worse than your beginning. If the Lord sends you to Crown Amoda and you didn't stay there, you moved to Adamawa, it is the Lord that giveth his beloved. You can't get sleep, it's the Lord that giveth it. I got a message this morning from the US. Sir, please, sir. There's a way you can go and buy an iPhone, all of you. There's a way on iPhone you can read the message without opening it. So the person is not aware I've read the message, except he's listening now. I just use my eye recognition. Sir, just give me time. In my mind, but you're in the US. You're in the US. Me, I'm even aspiring to be like you. Let the grace of God settle over your head. Stop chasing shadows. I have found David, my servant. God was searching for a man. He didn't just arrive at David by chance. Could it be Boaz? Who could it be? He was searching. Then he saw a boy in the bush. I can call you Father because you ransomed me from all the sins I've done. Holy Father, reconciling son. Michael, who is this? Well, like a lay. You are so good, you are so kind, Almighty God. When you have church by yourself in the bush, you are the drummer, you are the preacher, you are the clapper, you are the bass guitarist, you are the worship leader, you are the backup, you are the church member, you are the one collecting offering, you are the one giving the offering, you are the one sharing the grace, you are the one shouting amen, you are the one doing everything. A church of one with God. But you will never see it on the face of David. You won't know David was an outcast. You won't know he's going through so many things. When you ask him, say, Joah, you say, you are so good, you are so kind, Almighty God. You are so good, you are so kind, Almighty God. You are so good, you are so kind, Almighty God. You are so good, you are so... You don't know where your rent will come from. Hey, you are so good, you are so kind. Yeah, you are so good, you are so kind. Your child may be sick. You are so good, you are so kind. You are so good, you are so kind. You may have a terrible report from the doctor. You are so good, you are so kind.
Almighty God,
you are so kind.
Almighty God,
you are so good, you are so kind.
Almighty God,
you are so
good.
You are so good, you are so
kind.
You are so good, you are so
kind.
You are so good, you are so kind. You are so good, you are so kind.
Only
when you are singing a song like that, then you take your paper and your pencil and you begin to write. The Bible says, remember all his benefits. Sometimes your mind may play a fast one on you. You think God is not faithful. Then take your pen and begin to write. And the Holy Spirit is faithful. He will remind you. He will begin to, as you are singing. You know, someone say, I can't pray at night. I'm only start. Pick your paper. Pick your pencil. Then as you are singing, begin to write. Begin to write. Yeah, you will remember that even that interview, that job you are doing now, you will remember you actually didn't do well in that interview. But somehow they called you. Then that must have been God. Then you write it down again. You are so good, you are so kind.
Almighty God, you are so kind.
Almighty God,
you are so good, you are so kind. You are so good, you are so kind.
Oh,
yeah, you are so good, you are so kind.
Oh,
you are so good, you are so kind.
Oh,
you are so good, you are so kind.
Oh,
you are so good, you are so kind. Hold it.
Oh,
the reason why Satan has something on you is because he can see the desperation in your face. You don't know what to do. But you can confuse him if you start praising. I say you can confuse him. When they called that woman that her son died, say, what is going on? She said, it is well. My brother, somebody died though. She said, it is well. It's not coping mechanics. It's not psychology. Somebody died. She said, it is well. Ah. It is well. Your son will live. He said, it is well. It is well. You said that on God's integrity. Something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. Listen, our generation has failed to know the power of God's great deliverance that is tied to praises. It's not this psychedelic thing we are doing. No. You are going to move your body. It's not going to tell people you are not available. You have to be available so that you can tell your neighbor, be available.
Almighty God,
you are so good, you are so kind. 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 are so kind.
Almighty God.
Aha. Hallelujah. Now listen. I saw in the spirit, and I saw 5 seconds ago, I saw a door opening. Then inside that door, another door opened. And then another door opened. Then now I saw multiple doors at once open. Listen, listen. On the wings of covenant praise, today, this week, we are going to forcefully advance. Yeah.